From KCRW Santa Monica and KCRW.com, it's The Treatment. Welcome to The Treatment. I'm Elvis Mitchell. My guest, someone I've been a fan of for a long time, and if to have been so appreciated by talent that she's had two great writers write for her, I think, going back to Chris Thompson for Bosom Buddies and one of my favorite undersung shows, The Naked Truth, and her newest series, working with Ryan Murphy on Netflix for this series, Hollywood. My guest, of course, is Holland Taylor. Holland, thank you so much, and thank you for doing this.
Thank you, and thank you for that lovely introduction, and thank you for putting in my mind someone I love very much who has gone to his reward, one Chris Thompson, who created Bosom Buddies and also created Naked Truth, which I also love very much, and I'm glad to have you mention, as it did not have a success in its time, but a lot of people were pretty crazy about it.
I have to say, just before we get into talking about Ryan Murphy in Hollywood, that maybe one of my favorite TV experiences of all time is watching you and Tim Curry work together in the first season of that show. It was just some of the most wonderful timing I've ever seen in series television.
That's a lovely compliment, but it's I owe the possibility of that to Tim, because he was a masterful player in the sense that he was a great performer and created his roles well, but he was really a tennis player. He really made a connection with any actor he was working with, so that you almost by osmosis just picked up with some of his brilliance and some of his ability for repartee. It was just a joy. I'm so glad to have you remind me of that work, because it was such a joy always to work with him. You just rushed to the stage to play with Tim Curry.
It's funny, because I think about, whenever I think of you, I think of you as being such a generous performer, and that was evident in a project of yours that's going to be coming up on Great Performances on PBS in a few weeks. On June 19th, they will be running Anne, your one-person show about Governor Ann Richards, and just my memory of that show, because I haven't had a chance to rewatch it, the way that you would use anecdotes to reveal personal truth. And I was thinking about one of your early scenes in Hollywood where you talk about the origin of the Mid-Atlantic accent. It's almost like Ryan has seen you play Ann Richards and say, I can write for that sensibility. I can write for somebody who knows how to make a story into something very personal.
Well, you are asking about the greatest questions anybody's ever asked, or posing topics. They're just so wonderful. First of all, The Ann Richards project was fueled by something like a fervor to memorialize someone who I felt we had lost, and that we all, not just on a personal basis, but as a country, desperately needed. And it became, I was quite unlike me, because I was already in my mid-60s, and to at that age suddenly become someone who would really just throw everything aside to create a project that for which there was not really personal gain. It was. I really felt like I was in service, but joyously so. And creating that language for her, and creating the storytelling that reveals who she was exactly the job that I knew I had from the very first moment it flooded my mind. What I knew I had to do was not tell a history of her, but indeed, yes, stories, because stories reveal character. And all I wanted to do was to present her persona, a hologram, if you will. It's a poor example, but it's the only way I can say it. To create her persona in the hopes that her incandescent ability to inspire people and make people change their lives at their own sudden will. I wanted that, to convey that capacity to inspire by creating her persona. So that's really what my task was. So indeed, having researched her deeply for about 3 years in every way one can research somebody, I had so much knowledge, both informational and feeling and instinctive, and just an enormous mass of material in me about her so that when I started writing, when I wanted to show some aspect of her, any number of things flooded my consciousness. We'll tell this story and show that and show how she behaved with so-and-so, and they'll see it in a moment. And it was really, it took a while. It was many, many iterations of that play. The final version tells about as much as I think you could tell about another person in 2 hours. I mean, it was, but it was a joy to create it, and it was a joy to have that opportunity to do something of that scope in my life.
But I think, though, I guess what I'm saying is, and you're just talking about you having caught the attention of these writer producers who know how to write for your particular talent and your sensibility. I think your affinity is for telling, and I even think back to Ruth in Bosom Buddies, somebody could tell something that essentially was not about herself, but in fact ended up being entirely about her. And I think it's kind of a rarity in TV to see that kind of writing. And you seem to be a magnet for writers who have an affinity for your affinity, if you will.
Well, I think you might be trying to tease out something about me that I might not readily understand myself, which is why I'm sort of not sure I'm following where you're leading me.
Oh, sure. Let me try this then, because I guess what I'm saying is I think as an actor, you have a real talent for telling these anecdotes. And oftentimes an actor will play it just for a laugh or for melodrama or for a dramatic moment. And it will feel like it's kind of a surface, superficial thing. But these moments tend to be incredibly telling about these characters that you play.
Well, I think that I've had a number of writers tell me they want to write for me. And I think why they want to is that I have an enormous understanding and respect for the uses of language, how language works and how the performance of language works, and even how punctuation works. Basically, you think of a poem or a piece of writing that's careful writing, the punctuation, even the layout on the page, how it is written and how the sentences are structured are somewhat the directions for its performance. I think that I relate to material very much through language, where another actor, Sarah, for example, I think has such an emotional, febrile nature that she rides on, jumps right on and jumps right into and is very responsive to the emotional path that the character is walking. Whereas I think I'm more in touch with, which is maybe more superficial in a sense, I'm more in touch with the thinking and the language and what is trying to be expressed, and trying to, with my whole, you know, the histrionic person, the whole body, the voice, everything, express but precisely what the language is intended to have as its freight.
Well, I certainly don't think it's superficial at all. I think it's really interesting. I guess I gravitate toward that scene, where Ellen's explaining what acting is and basically talking about a generational thing, about representational versus presentational, about actually feeling something versus just doing it doing the words.
Yes.
I just think that's an incredibly difficult thing to anybody to act out. And to me, it speaks about the enormous confidence that Ryan had in you, that you could make a scene like that play as both information and as something incredibly revealing about Ellen.
Well, that's incredibly, I mean, I'm very complimented by that. You know, Ryan is so, has so much personal style, and sometimes he pretends that he's just tossing off something, or rather, he just does seem to be tossing off something, but in fact, he might feel profound connections to it. I know when he told me about this part, he was just very light. He just said that I was going to love it, and it was great, and that she had moxie. But when the parts started to come, and we didn't get it, our scenes all at once, we got our scripts sort of bit by bit and slower as we were moving ahead because the workload was building up. And everything that came down for me to do and to all the things that Ellen was concerned about were just an incredible joy for me to perform, because I don't usually have a character of such moment to play, certainly not in American television. And so to have this opportunity to be a woman of real substance, that is very flattering that he gave that to me. And I hadn't thought about it that way, that you're suggesting that he did so because he thought I could handle it. And if that's true, I'll take it.
Well, maybe I'm sounding too subtle here. I'm not suggesting it at all. I'm saying it because I think he recognizes as a writer that he needed somebody who could write something like that for you because you can make it play on several levels. So that lands as, again, as fact, as kind of history of what acting is, but also about her attachment, emotional attachment to acting and her understanding of technique. I mean, there's a lot going on in that. And I think it's a profoundly sort of subtle and multi-layered and, again, I felt like I was watching the kind of writing you had done for yourself in the show, Anne, and it was really impressive to me.
Well, you know, I never thought of it that way. You could say an actress creates a play. She's making a vehicle for herself. It's a career move. And the result of it, of course, is that, in fact, that it is that. But as I said, the creation of this, doing that play was absolutely a vision quest. I mean, I'm not even that kind of person. But for me to do that and pull that off, because it was an extraordinary amount of effort and achievement, to pull that off meant that I was operating in a zone that I never have ever been in. But the fact that it turns out to have been a very important career move, it was never intended to be anything of the kind. I never thought of myself as writing a piece for myself. What I thought of was that I was creating a portrait of this person that I felt was profoundly theatrical and profoundly right for the theater. And so I naturally dedicated myself to it with all my soul. And the fact is that it came out to be well done is not because I was trying to make a career move, but because I was trying to create something that had real purpose. And the fact that it did do so much for me professionally was an after effect, as it were.
We should take a break. We're talking honesty with my guest, Holland Taylor. Her newest role is, of course, the role of Ellen Kincaid on the Ryan Murphy series, Hollywood. And she has a great piece coming up on great performances on PBS, her one-person show, and about Governor Ann Richards of Texas. It's The Treatment. There's more to come. Stay with us.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
Welcome back. It's The Treatment. Again, we're talking honesty with my guest, who mistakenly thinks she's cynical, Holland Taylor. Her new piece on Netflix is Hollywood by Ryan Murphy. She's also starring in the one-person show and about Governor Ann Richards of Texas. And before we go on, I should tell you, I was so moved by the show because I got to sit next to Ann Richards on a plane. It was the spring of 2004, and she called the election. She said that John Kerry's going to get the nomination, and he was going to lose the election because he's going to make the same mistake she had made in running for the second time as governor. She so was speaking to the press that she forgot her constituency, which was women and people of color. And she could see Kerry was making the exact same mistake. And what I was so moved by in the show was her ability to be in the present and see the future at the same time. And I don't know how you managed to intuit that or to fix in on those qualities of Ann Richards, but you get them perfectly. So it's not just that you wrote a careerist piece for yourself. You wrote a great piece of theater.
Well, I'll take it because I actually think that something just sort of funneled down into me from the, you know, on the road to Damascus. I really think I was gifted with an ability I did not by nature have, because I do think I'm told by everyone close to her to whom I'm close that I really did capture who she was. And I think I did just tune into her in such an enormous way, which has allowed me to write things. I mean, the play is written. It's not quotes of hers. It's not taken. I mean, there are slivers of things that she said, but for the most part, it's a narrative play. It's completely concocted. But there's no event in it that didn't either happen or something so similar to it happened. I just created something where I could show the same truth in another framework. But I marveled at her range as a person, because in a sense, in terms of her authority and the things she accomplished, she was able to do a lot because she was like a general in temperament. People swarmed around her to serve her. And I know a lot of these people very well, extremely talented. And it's because they saw in her the lightning rod. They saw the lightning in a bottle that she was in terms of leadership. She had a great big brain, and yet she had this humanity that she never lost. And I'm sure that's exactly right, that when she was so exhausted, because when you're, if you're Ann Richards and you're governor, you're working yourself to death. And after, at the end of her first term, she was already, you know, she really worked hard. And traditionally in Texas, a lot of the governors were, you know, white, old white men, distinguished Texans at the end of their business career or whatever, who decided that they'll just ride out, you know, their latter years relaxing as governor. But she killed herself just working so hard as governor. So when it came time to campaign for that second term, and to fight against this pretty boy who decided he wanted to go into politics and had a famous daddy who was president, you know, it was so galling to have to go and deal with all the stuff that Karl Rove created and engineered, and he managed that campaign against Governor Richards, and it was a campaign against her. That is how Bush was put forward, by putting her down, by attacking her. But behind the scenes, never him personally. He treated her like a real gentleman. He was very smart of Rove. But I did get a sense of the many levels at which she played. And people, when they see Anne now, they say, like their recent production of it 2 years ago at the ZAC that Libby Villari did. And people said, did you do a lot of little rewrites to update the play? And he said, no, not a word. It's as it was written in 2012, actually, was the final draft of that was written. And so she just was a very prescient person who saw from such a long, long lens. I mean, she used to joke about how Mao Zedong, when he was asked what he thought about the French Revolution, he said, it's too soon to tell. I mean, she just had big, long-range views of life.
She did, that's what I'm saying, that ability, or that quality, rather, being able to see where she was, but also being able to see the future. I mean, just, and but not feeling like torn between two places, but actually being able to understand her place in history and how the world would move forward with her or without her. By the way, it's a treatment. We're talking to writer-actor Holland Taylor, who, of course, stars in Anne, which will be on PBS on June 19th, and is also in the new Ryan Murphy series, Hollywood, playing mentor Ellen Kincaid. One of the things I guess I connected to Anne Richards, too, about your character is that you've often played people who like themselves, even though maybe they shouldn't like themselves. And in the case of both... in the case of both Ellen and Anne Richards, these are people who like themselves, who are justified in liking themselves.
Yes, I think that, you know, Anne was adored by her father, and she was taught by her father that if you want to do well in life, make people like you. Be fun, tell jokes, give presents. He just said, be popular. Here's how they be popular. And I think she enjoyed being popular. She enjoyed being the life of the party. And she would be the first to tell you that she got her nourishment from other people. So not only did she enjoy being the life of the party, she enjoyed the party revelers around her. She loved people. She loved her friends. She had an enormous appetite for friendship. And an enormous sense of responsibility for it. She was a really generous person in many ways.
Well, I think that quality, again, that she actually likes herself for a good reason. And Ellen is somebody who's really caring about both her craft and about the people with whom she works, because I think she thinks that she's going to put this kind of effort into these people, they have to deserve it. And so there's a generosity of spirit towards these people with whom she's involved, but also about what she does, that to me connects her to Anne Richards in a way. So I think it's interesting that these two projects will be visible on TV and whatever people are streaming these days at about the same time.
Well, I think you've actually hit on something that's very accurate, and I just simply never thought of it myself. The fact is, Ellen Kincaid is a person of enormous goodwill, and that is really what I was consciously thought about her. I mean, Ryan gave me the keyword moxie. So that just automatically put me in a place of liking myself, liking her in her own skin, comfortable in her skin, happy with herself, comfortable with herself. I mean, obviously everybody has regrets about, wish they were better than this, that, and the other way. But in the main, she was okay with who she was and was a person of goodwill, and she spread it around. But yeah, there was also a tariff. You had to be worth it. You had to live up to her expectations. You had to play your part. And I even remember there's a moment before I'm introduced to the young writer and this young actor and director, and I'm sort of standing on a step slightly above them. And I sort of imagine at the moment they're meeting this elder who's on the movie studio lot, and she's an important person on the lot, and they know that. And I remember looking at these young, fresh faces of these three young men a step below me and stepping down to meet them. And I remember feeling a double feeling, which, well, I say it of myself, I'm assuming other actors feel the same thing, where you, part of you is an observer. I mean, you are paying attention to what's happening because you're a professional actor and you want to monitor what you're doing. And then there's the you that's having the experience of acting the role, so that you're, so it's like things double track happening at the same time. There's actually more tracks than that, but those two tracks happening. And so I remember at that moment stepping down that step to greet them, thinking, what a happy moment this is of these youngsters who are going to be something, and I am going to be part of their becoming something. And you experience these feelings in a flash, like a thousand feelings like that when you're acting on stage.
Well, I guess as you're saying these things, I was thinking about what I've so often loved about what you do as a performer is this thing we were talking about in the first half of the show, which is playing these characters who have a love of the power of language. And in Ellen's case, it's knowing that, first of all, I think it's kind of an unusual thing, and people aren't really paying attention to it in terms of writing about Hollywood, that she's talking to young women of that era and telling them it's okay to be ambitious, which is not the message that was given to young women of that period, and to not be afraid of their own talent. But also just her love of language, and all these things to me just make this character resonate in ways that I found myself really keen about. And I just wonder if that was part of it for you too.
There's no question about it. I'm so pleased to hear you say all of this, because, you know, in terms of screen time, that certainly wasn't one of the major parts. She was definitely a support actor, but I felt it was a very rich character that I was given to play, and I was just boundlessly grateful for the opportunity. And a lot of people, a lot of friends, I mean, goodness, I literally got letters from friends from college who had seen it on Netflix and for the first time ever had gotten in touch with him to let me know they love something that they saw. So Ellen Kincaid, definitely what was created by Ryan and Ian Brennan, the opportunity for where that character would live, was really resonant. So no wonder I love playing it, because it obviously taps on things we want to experience with people.
Yeah, but I just find myself so often thinking about these characters who are written in these backstage Hollywood things. There's often a manipulative streak in these people. They're openly Machiavellian. They take pride in, and you play characters like this before who take pleasure in knowing that they're two steps past everybody else on the game board. But again, like Ann Richards, Ellen is aware of her place in history. She's aware of where she's come from. She's aware of what the future is, which is what you're talking about feeling with those young actors on the set.
Yes.
And that sort of that constant sense of awareness, and to be able to play that in a way that doesn't give it away or doesn't signal to those of us watching that she knows that she's aware, if you know what I mean.
Yes. Yeah, I'm agreeing with you. She does. I'm just so sort of dazzled by this line of questioning. It's really quite a interesting point of view you've come from. Hardly expected. It's really such a refined way to think about it. But it's really true. And what it boils down to, part in a sense, one thing it boils down to is a character who has goodwill, as opposed a character who is. I mean, if you had to put it to this way, Ellen is her brother's keeper, and Ellen is not just out for herself. And he would say a character who is Machiavellian in the opposite sense, in the other sense, that that person is out for himself, not out for the general good. And I'd say that that's two kind of characters. Those are two kind of people on this planet. And never have we ever seen those two types of people in the planet more than we are seeing right now in our society, I think. There are people whose instinctive leaning is towards society's well-being, and they are their brother's keeper in a sense. And there are people who lean towards, I've got to get this for myself or for me and mine. There's nothing more nourishing and wholesome than exploring a character, a rich character like Ann Richards or like Ellen Kincaid, who is interested in the common good.
You were saying you hadn't heard from friends in a while, and I think for a final question, it makes you wonder if you think, given the times we're living in, as you just know, that they're responding to Ellen because she represents a kind of thing we don't often see dramatized, let alone written in television, especially these days. There's so much sort of dystopian TV and so much about the dark side and people who just subservient to their appetites. And I think people are responding to the thing you're talking about.
I think you're right. And I hadn't thought about it in such an elegant, made such an elegant argument about it as you have. But I think that the success of Hollywood as a series, because of its revisionist history and its sort of fantasy, it's a fantasy of what, you know, how wonderful something could be or could have been or could still be if people just took different steps. I mean, I think that in the atmosphere, both of the political division, which we had arrived at some sort of paroxysm level of division in our society, and then to cloak it in this once in a century stress and fear of this pandemic, I think absolutely the audiences rush to anything that is nourishing, anything that suggests that people could be good, that, you know, that they could lean towards the good, they could lean towards the wholesome, towards the positive future, towards progress. I remember when I first started working on the Ann Richards piece, I remember Mary Beth Rogers, who was her chief of staff. She's also a professor at the LBJ School, and she also wrote the biography of Barbara Jordan. It's an enormous intellect. She said, you know, progressive politics operates on the principle that life can be improved for people, that in fact, you know, evolution works. We are slowly evolving. We are sitting on the shoulders of the generations before us. And so that you know, want to do legislation and policies that in fact enhance or uphold or provoke the elevation, the lifting, the progress of society.
I think so too. And I'm sorry we're out of time here. Holland, you have to come back and do the show anytime you would like. It would be my pleasure to have you.
Well, Elvis, thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure and really a revelation to speak with you. I've enjoyed these questions so much.
Wow. And we just recorded all that so people know it's actually happening. My guest is Holland Taylor, who's starring as Ann Richards in Ann, the one-person show on PBS on Great Performances, and is also in the new Ryan Murphy series on Netflix, Hollywood. Our recording engineer at KCRW, which is out there somewhere, I guess, is Desmond Taylor. The show's mixed and edited by Kat Yore. To better days, everybody. It's The Treatment. Catch up on past episodes of The Treatment, go to kcrw.com or listen on your smartphone with KCRW's mobile apps, or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or if you listen to podcasts. The Treatment is produced and distributed by KCRW Santa Monica.